y Puerto Rico son de un pájaro las dos alas. Cuba y Puerto Rico son de un pájaro las dos alas.
Greetings, Radio Havana, Cuba listeners. Once the Monroe Doctrine was established, the United States lost no time convincing the states of the South that it represented a community of interests between North and South America, and that they were meant to defend the principles of state democracy throughout the American continent. In time, it became the political emblem of the United States in the Western Hemisphere as the United States' contribution to the freedom and independence of the Latin American peoples. There was more than a political interest behind this doctrine. Economic interests play a fundamental role, which can be seen in the annual growth and exportation from the U.S. to Latin America. The doctrine was established with the intent of continuing the expansionist policies of the U.S. and has, ever since, relied upon language that disguised its true intentions. It was not, as was said, that a matter of preventing colonialism or ensuring the sovereignty of the nations of Latin America. It had no intention of ensuring their independence, nor of confronting Spain. Its only genuine interest was in preserving its hegemony throughout the continent. Monroe proclaimed the entire Western Hemisphere a zone of vital interest and security of the United States. It is thus clear that his doctrine did not have a defensive character, but was instead aimed at counter-U.S. rivals in the struggle for spheres of influence in the region. Little by little, they allowed their real intentions to be seen. So it was that Adams, then Monroe's Secretary of State, announced that, with respect to Cuba and Puerto Rico, these islands, due to their geographic location, are natural appendixes of the American continent, and one of these, almost visible for our coast, and for a multitude of reasons, of the great importance to the political and commercial interests of our Union. Altogether, the result is that no other foreign nation could be compared to it, and our relations with it are almost identical to those that join the various states of our Union. Monroe was careful not to compromise the hegemonic and expansionistic interest of the United States in the region, while warning Europe, primarily Great Britain, against any intention to dominate in the region. Around this time, there was already talk of the Panama Congress convoked by Bolivar as a gathering of young Latin American nations seeking a common project. And this Congress constituted an obstacle to the expansionist plans of the United States in the region. Thus, Pan-Americanism and the Monroe Doctrine complement each other and share a common objective, U.S. hegemony in the continent. The Monroe Doctrine identified the objectives: Pan-Americanism, the political method by which it was to be achieved, the creation of an alliance in which the United States would be the leader. Bolivar did not invite the United States to the Amphictyonic Congress of Panama in 1826. It set out to confirm the Treaty of Union, ties and permanent confederal among the republics of Colombia, Central America, Peru, and the United Mexican States, and consequently, the signing of agreement regarding trade and military affairs, the abolition of slavery and racial discrimination, putting an end to the last vestige of Spanish power in the New World, and ability of the Confederation to mediate and arbitrate the disputes that may arise among its members. In the eyes of the United States, this was something to be prevented at all costs.
Puerto Rico, a la que cayó al mar, que no pudo volar, yo te invito a mi vuelo y buscamos juntos el mismo cielo.
This was Rosa Meneses Albizu Campos who spoke to you, because Cuba and Puerto Rico are the two wings of the same bird.
Cuba y Puerto Rico son de un pájaro, las dos alas. Cuba y Puerto Rico son de un pájaro, las dos alas.